But what we're going to do now is, what we're going to do this morning is going to be, because children are in with us, it's going to be a little bit different. Instead of having one big long talk, we're going to have several little mini ones with songs kind of scattered amongst them. So that means I'd like you to listen. Some questions will be rhetorical, some won't. I'll try to make sure the difference between the two is very clear. But the first thing we're going to do is we're going to read a verse from the Bible all together. We're going to read, now it's going to come up on screen, so from this point onwards, the Bible verses we're going to look at are going to be up here for you to see. So if we could have the Hebrews 12 verse, we're going to read this together. What we're going to do today is we're going to think a little bit about what Jesus was looking forward to when he hung on the cross. Let's read the verse behind me, in front of you, together. Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I want you to think about this. What are you looking forward to right now? Think about it, and then talk to the person next to you. Boys and girls, talk to your mum and dad. Older boys and girls, talk to your friends and family. What are you really looking forward to? Maybe it's something today, maybe it's something tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. What are you really looking forward to? Talk about it for a minute. Okay, 5 seconds of chat. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Okay, what are you really looking forward to? Anybody looking forward to something today? Yeah, Sabina, what are you looking for? Well, just tell me something you're looking forward to. Having my birthday next year. That's a long way away. Okay, great. Next year. No, that's good. Thank you, Abina. I wanted today, tomorrow, next week, next year. Go on, Milo. What are you looking forward to? Chocolate eggs. I knew there'd be a couple of people saying chocolate eggs. Yeah, there's a lot of chocolate eggs in my house at the moment. I know Marlo is looking forward to eating chocolate eggs. You're looking forward to eating chocolate eggs? I think he is. any other things further than next year? Leonard, what are you looking forward to? Your birthday as well. Is it a long way away or is it soon, Leonard? Ooh, July. Not very far away. Okay, some people are looking forward to getting married. A few people in the church looking forward to getting married. A few people looking forward to having a baby. Some big things to look forward to in life. What I want us to think about is this. When you have something to really look forward to, it helps you when things are tough right now, doesn't it? If things are really, really rubbish at school or at work, but you know holiday is soon, makes it a bit better, doesn't it? You can have a really, really rubbish day, rubbish week, but if you have something really good to look forward to, it makes a really big difference. And what we're going to think about today is, what was Jesus looking forward to when he hung on the cross? We looked at that verse from Hebrews. I'm not really getting this. Do you want to just do it, or should I keep going with it? Fine. Okay. So look at this verse that we had on here. There's a word here that begins with E. That is a word that we use when we're talking about keeping going when something is really hard. This is not a rhetorical question. Can anybody think what the word is, starts with an E, that we use when we mean it to keep going when something is really, really hard? Aaron. Endure. Thank you. And look at what this verse says. It says that Jesus had something ahead of him that helped him to endure. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Jesus had something amazing to look forward to that helped him as he was hanging on the cross, going through all of that pain. We just had a little video that reminded us of some of the things that Jesus had to go through, didn't we? Think about some of the things that happened to Jesus. And on Friday, we thought about this. Hands down for the moment. Thank you, Abina. I'm glad you're listening. But hands down, think about on Friday. When we met on Friday, it felt sad, didn't it? Because we remembered some of the things that Jesus endured. some of the horrible things that happened to Jesus that he had to go through. Being arrested by soldiers, he didn't deserve that. Being beaten up by the soldiers, he didn't deserve that. Being spat on, being mocked, being made fun of, he didn't deserve any of that. And then being killed by being hung on a cross. Friday felt sad, if you were here on Friday, because Jesus was enduring something really, really, really horrible. And I don't think anybody in human history has gone through anything worse than what Jesus went through on the cross. But as he hung on the cross, he endured, he kept going, because he had something to look forward to. We're going to think a little bit more about what that thing was that he was looking forward to in a moment. But we're going to sing again now. But I want you to think, we're going to sing, and then we're going to look at another bit of the Bible. But I want you to think, what was Jesus looking forward to that kept him going through all of that horrible stuff that he had to do on the cross? Okay, 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, we're going to keep thinking about it, and we're going to have another passage from the Bible that's going to help us. It'll be up on screen, and Martin is going to read it for us. He's got a microphone there, so he's just going to read it from where he is. As Martin reads, follow along with the words on the screen.
One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Thank you, Martin. This is a little story that takes place on the cross. It takes place while Jesus is hanging in the middle cross with a criminal on one side and another criminal on the other. Now, it's a reminder, even as we look at that image on the screen, that actually when Jesus was crucified, there was nothing heroic or iconic about being killed on a cross. It's become a symbol now. It wasn't at the time. Jesus wasn't just put in a kind of a special, exclusive kind of thing that was his own thing that we could look at and say, "Oh, that's special and different." No. Jesus being hung on a cross with a criminal either side is a little bit like having a firing squad and all the worst people are lined up against the wall. Men and women who have done things that are so horrible, you don't even want to say what those things are out loud. And everybody agrees those are horrible people. They are nasty people, and it's better. Our society, our world is better without people like that. We put them up against that wall, and we don't do this, thankfully. But up against the wall, and they're just horrible. Everyone agrees. And then Jesus is thrown in with them. That's the picture that we have of one cross surrounded by other ones. Jesus is associated with the criminals here. And one of these criminals, let's imagine it's the one on this side, he mocks Jesus, doesn't he? Did you notice? He turns and he speaks to Jesus and he says this, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." I don't think that's a genuine request, because later in the passage we see how Jesus responds to a genuine request. I think this is somebody who is angry, who's definitely in pain, and with every last breath is fighting against everybody who's doing something to him without looking at what he might have done wrong. There's a bitterness there. There's an anger there. There's a lashing out at everybody around him, including this person next to him. This criminal is cursing the fact that this is happening to him. And as he dies, and as he suffers, everyone else is to blame. And there's an anger against everyone else, especially this guy, who apparently is someone who could help me, but what a joke. That's one criminal. But there's a big difference between one criminal and the other, isn't there? The other criminal says this. The other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds." This criminal sees something about himself but that criminal doesn't. It's a little bit like the difference between two children saying sorry for the same thing they did wrong, but saying sorry in a very different kind of way. They've both done the same thing. They're both equally guilty, they're both equally naughty, and both of them say sorry, and one of them says sorry like this. Sorry. And the other one says sorry like this. Sorry. There's a difference. There's a difference. This criminal here says sorry like it's everyone else's fault that what he has to deal with is happening to him. This one says sorry because they know they've got themselves in this position. Says sorry quietly, with tears in their eyes. This one says sorry angrily, proud, defensive. And as we think about the cross and we think about these two criminals, we should stop and we should ask ourselves, which one are we like? When the Bible speaks of people like us needing to repent, when the Bible speaks of us being sinful, of being a wrongdoer, is that something we react against and hate and think, who is the God to tell me what's right or wrong? What is the Bible to say that I'm bad in any way? How do we react to that? When we think about our own life and we think about our own relationships and the messes in our life maybe, and we consider those, how quickly do we just look at other people and say, well, if so and so, and if that, how quickly do we look at ourselves and say, yeah, that's the other criminal, isn't it? The other criminal looks at himself and realizes, I am somebody who is in fundamental need of forgiveness. I've done so much wrong in my life. I know there's wrong ahead of me in life. I need forgiveness from people around me. There's stuff in my past I wish I could go and change. There's people I've wronged in the past I've lost touch with, and I can't ever gain their forgiveness. Maybe there's things that I've done to myself, and I feel like I need to forgive myself somehow. And definitely when it comes to God as being the one who made me and who's out there somewhere, I don't even want to think about what I owe God. Which one are you more like? The second criminal knows he needs forgiveness. He says to the other criminal, "We're guilty. We deserve to be hanging here, but this guy, it's different. You deserve to be here. I deserve to be here. Death is the right thing for us. We were always on this trajectory, you and I." But then he stops, and instead of talking about himself, he turns to Jesus. And he says something about Jesus. He talks first about himself and the other guy. We're guilty. You and me, we're guilty. But this guy? What does he say about Jesus? He says, this man has done nothing wrong. We are guilty. Jesus is different. It's just a few short words, but in that is the deepest realization of the difference between normal human beings, like everyone in this room, and Jesus Christ of human history. We, all of us, are guilty. Jesus is different. I wonder what you think about Jesus. Maybe that's all you know about Jesus. I don't really know who he is. I don't really get it. But I know that He's just someone different. He's just something different. He's just more good. He's just more true. In these few short words of the criminal, there's this simple, simple realization. And it's worth noticing that. The realization of who we are. And some little, tiny little version of a realization of who Jesus is. And then he speaks to Jesus. And what he says is very simple. Again, this is what he says. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This is what it looks like to put your faith in Jesus. I don't know if you've done that before or not. Maybe you've done that before and it was a long time ago and you're still doing it every day. Maybe you've never done that. And maybe you're someone that wonders, what does that look like? What does it look like to be converted? I've heard about conversion. I've heard about people being converted, becoming Christians, putting their faith in Jesus. What does that actually look like? This is what it looks like. It's a very simple but very genuine realization that I am guilty in front of God, that I am a wrongdoer in front of God, but Jesus is different. And then it's simply saying to Jesus, whatever is next for you, please take me with you. Whatever journey you're on, please can I be on that journey with you instead of on the journey that I'm on now. And what Jesus says to that criminal in response is indicative of what he says to anyone who reaches out to him for forgiveness. He says this, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now we had a question earlier, if we could get to the verse, the Luke passage. We had a question earlier, what was Jesus looking forward to as he hung on the cross? Towards the end of this passage, we start to get a bit of an answer to that. Where is Jesus going to go after the cross in verse 42? Where is he going to come into? His kingdom. There is a kingdom after the cross. And look at what Jesus says in verse 43. How is this kingdom described? Paradise. And so that starts to flesh out the picture. What is Jesus looking forward to as he hangs on the cross? Kingdom, paradise. But in this passage, we start to see something amazing. Jesus is taking people with him. So the question has been, what was Jesus looking forward to? And we started to have a little bit of an answer. We've started to see that there's a kingdom after the cross, and it's a perfect kingdom. And we're starting to see that actually Jesus is taking people with him. He says to the criminal on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. The today bit isn't the most amazing part of that. It's the with me in paradise. That's what's amazing. With Jesus. With him. In his perfect kingdom. Somebody who's been hanging on a cross as a criminal and saying, yeah, that's what I deserve. With Jesus in paradise. Starting to get a little bit of a picture of what's next for Jesus. A perfect kingdom with others. But then we might think about the today bit of that verse, because actually, we can't talk to this criminal. He's not around. Jesus isn't around with us in the same way as he was for the criminal. There isn't that immediacy. So the question might be, as we look at this, we might think, well, have I missed my chance? I see that there is a kingdom for Jesus to go to, and this criminal seems to recognize that, and he has this amazing offer, but Jesus isn't here now. The criminal isn't here now, so is Jesus already doing that thing that he was looking forward to? Well, our last passage helps us to think about that. We're going to read this one altogether. And Jesus says this to his followers. Let's read it together. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We're not there yet. But Jesus hasn't forgotten about us. Look what he says. Let not your hearts be troubled. Don't worry. Don't worry. Believe in God. Trust in him. That's what the criminal on the cross did when he said to Jesus, "Remember me." He trusted in Jesus. He knew who Jesus was and he reached out to him. And Jesus says the same thing to us now. Trust in God. Believe in God. Believe in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. That's picture language to talk about that perfect kingdom. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Jesus isn't here now because he is getting the kingdom ready for us. And look at his words. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. What I want you to just hear, if you've been a Christian for a while, and you're placing your trust in Jesus, your faith in him, day by day, and maybe it's a long time ago you first did that, I just want you to remember this. Jesus has not forgotten you. Jesus has not forgotten you. There is a place in the perfect kingdom that has your name on it. And until you are there, the job's not done. Everything that needs to be done has been done on the cross. But Jesus isn't just thinking, oh, job done, the other people can just, that doesn't matter. We had this question earlier. What was Jesus looking forward to? Now let's ask this. What is Jesus looking forward to still? The joy that was set before Jesus is still ahead of him. Because until the day that everyone responds to Jesus throughout the whole of eternity, until the day that everyone who responds to Jesus is there, Jesus is still looking forward. That joy is not complete yet. Maybe that's something that we need to remember. This is the big message for this morning. It's this. Jesus endured the cross so that he could spend eternity with us in his perfect kingdom. As he hung on the cross and he went through all of that, he endured. He kept going for you and for me. And until the day that we are there in the kingdom with him, Jesus is still looking forward. The job is done. Our sins have been paid for. We can look to the cross and we can say, I am free now of all of my sin. Death is not my future anymore. But Jesus is still going to come back. He's made a place for you. He hasn't forgotten you. Jesus endured the cross so that he could spend eternity with us in his perfect kingdom. I asked at the beginning, what are you looking forward to? What are you looking forward to in life, whether it's a birthday next year or a birthday in a couple of months? If you're a believer in Jesus, and if you, like that criminal hanging on the cross, have said to him, remember me, what have you got to look forward to? How eagerly do you get up every day and think, that's where I'm going? That's what I'm looking forward to. Being with Jesus in eternity. For us, we easily forget. There's other stuff that we're like, I can't wait for this, I can't wait for that, I can't wait for that, I can't wait for that. You know what? Jesus can't wait for the day that you are with him in his perfect kingdom. And that's what he died on the cross for. Let's pray, and we're going to sing again. Lord Jesus, we praise you, we thank you once more for everything that you have done for us. We pray that each of us in this room would be like that criminal hanging on the cross, recognizing our own guilt before you, before the Father, and yet turning to you, Lord Jesus, and simply saying, remember me. Whatever is next for you, Lord Jesus, take us with you. Help us to be like that. May your Holy Spirit be working in each heart to open blind eyes and to bring repentance where maybe there hasn't been up until now. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are so looking forward to having us with you forever. We pray that whatever else we have to look forward to in life and whatever we're dealing with that's difficult at the moment in life, we pray that heaven with you would be the reason we keep going. We pray all of these things in your precious name, Lord. Amen.